This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Never settle. Unless it's into the electrifying BMW i4. Blend the lines of cutting-edge and classic with groundbreaking technology at your fingertips. And experience M-engineered precision while you twist around every turn. After all, electric doesn't have to be static. If you thought EVs couldn't live up to your expectations, then you've never experienced the ultimate electric driving machine. The 100% electric 2025 BMW i4.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon producing the show. Hope you're staying safe out there. Well, maybe you're just staying inside. You're just staying at home. That seems like a great idea.
My kids'
today
school
as well.
Canceled last night at like 5, 6.
Look, I know my tweet yesterday sounded like just an old back in my day. And I admitted it in the same tweet. I said, look, I must be getting old. Because I was like, back in our day, you know, we had to get up at 6 a.m., wait for the scroll on the television. Wait till it got to O, so I saw Latha USD 233, and I was, you're waiting. You're like, all right, there's Ottawa, and you're just waiting. And that was how we found out. Not 5 o'clock the night before snow was even on the ground. But you know what? I guess we evolve. I guess we evolve as society. Shout out to the kids that probably won't have school tomorrow either because it's going to be really cold tomorrow. But hope you're staying safe. Especially, we know we got a lot of listeners that are part of the crews out there, making sure the roads get safe and cleared for everybody.
That's who we're here for.
That's right.
Delivery drivers.
That's right. That's right.
Those that work HVAC for workers. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's got to be like, you know, on the road and anything in between. I will say the only downside, I think, to what you're describing, which is, yeah, like better preparedness, is sometimes like we never got the like accidental call off, right? Where you'd be like, hey, we think it's going to be real bad.
Yeah.
And we're doing it. Because if you woke up and they were like, not that bad. Get your ass to school. You know, like you didn't get the like, oh, it wasn't as bad as we thought. Cause we always remember those, like, you know, you'd think you're like, oh, maybe I'm going to get the snow day. And then you're like, damn, didn't snow as bad as I thought. Like today doesn't seem like it snowed quite as bad as people thought it could be. Mm-hmm. Still not great or anything.
The roads aren't cleared fully yet though. That's
but
the thing.
Yeah, for sure. But it was always like, you know, it had a little more leeway. My kids are fully off. No virtual school this day, just a true full actual snow day, you know?
Yeah, so stay safe out there, and if you don't have to get out, all the normal stuff, right? I will say, you guys can, of course, interact with us on the Jay's Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Shout out to Jay's Southland Tow Service. Yes, I had to call him yesterday, Cody.
You had to call him?
Yeah, shout out to Alan with Jay's Southland Tow Service. We mention them all the time as our text line sponsor. So I mentioned to you, I didn't say it on the show, but I knew that I needed a new battery for my car, right? And
you had plans to go get it fixed
yesterday.
And
someone was like, well, why did you have an appointment? Well, the battery was under warranty, so I wanted to go to the same place I got it so I could fulfill the warranty and not have to pay for a new battery, frankly, right?
Makes sense. Yeah, sure.
So I went 2 days ago to that place, and they couldn't get me in yet. They're like, all right, we'll get you in tomorrow. And I knew the car was like, I knew the battery was a problem. Because yesterday morning, it barely started. All right. Like, I was like, I get into work yesterday. I'm like, I just need you to start one more time so I can go from the show to the auto place that I go to one more time. Sure enough, I get out there because it starts to get cold. Nope. Completely dead. Wouldn't turn over.
Was it making that clicking sound?
Click.
Oh, boy, that's a bad feeling.
Drew was out there. He was nice enough to help. And Logan, our part-time host, you guys know.
It was really all Logan. I was just there.
Well, fair enough. But it was cold out.
You didn't
stood out there.
You didn't leave him high and dry. You made sure.
And so Logan tried to, we tried to jump it. And it was so dead that didn't work. So I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. So then I'm like, is it worse than the battery? So I called our friends over at J. Safflin Tow. They were out there within like 30 minutes and jumped that bad boy right away. And then I drove to where I needed to be, the auto place. And yeah, they're like, yeah, this is a bad battery. And it was under warranty and we're good to go. Thank goodness. Just in time before the winter storm. So shout out to them.
I would have, you know, I would have stuck around. Nobody asked me to. I just left.
Well, it's fine. Yeah. Oh, I thought it was going to start. And then at that, you didn't have jumper cables though, right?
I was in the rental. So maybe, I don't know if do they put jumper cables in a rental car? You'd kind of think they would,
they
right?
Might. Yeah.
Just
they
to kind of be safe.
But I don't know. Man.
I didn't even drive that thing today because, to my understanding, rear wheel drive Mustangs, probably not the best car for this weather.
Mm-hmm.
So I just took my wife's car today instead. She's not
That's
going
probably
today.
It's smart, probably smart decision.
Now, I hope she doesn't have to leave the house today because otherwise she's screwed. Mm-hmm. The plan would be is that, I should be able to get home by a normal amount of time after the show and then she'll be fine.
So today would have been, I'm assuming at one point, if the Chiefs would have won, today was the plan for the parade. If it was the same formula as years prior, and then with the weather, I'm guessing the parade would have got either moved up to yesterday or would have been pushed back to Friday or something. I'm assuming is what would have happened because today would have been the normal day.
I'm guessing it would have been Tuesday. The original plan from Sam McDowell said Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm guessing they would have gone.
Just moved it up a day?
Thursday. Or Tuesday, yeah. Because Thursday, it's like you still got the same problem. There's still snow on the ground. You still got to clear the road. You got to kind of go through the BS in order to do it. My guess is that. I guess we'll...
Yeah.
We'll
Someone never, says, Gold, why didn't you we'll have one of those know. Automatic jumper packs? Well, the funny thing about that is...
Gold has one of those.
I do, and of course, that was not charged. Yeah. That one I'll loan. That one's on me. I do. I have one of those Halo...
I think when you got a car your age, you kind of have
to. Yeah, like I have one of those Halo bolt things, and they're great. It does tire pressure and it jump starts your car. That was dead. So, yeah.
It always feels like it snows on the first day pitchers and catchers report, you know? Like, we know that they're down there in the sunshine of Arizona showing up to surprise to do some pitcher fielding practice or whatever, and we're stuck in snow. Every time it's like baseball is here, it's snowy here. That kind of just feels like the natural transition.
Coming up in 25 minutes, we'll have our final check-in of the season with our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. I'll be honest, he really wants to come on the show today. He's an Eagles fan. He does a great job covering the NFL.
He borderline was begging to come on the show today.
He was at the Super Bowl.
So we're going to let him have his last show.
He was at the Super Bowl with his family and what an experience that was, I'm sure. So we'll talk to him about that. And just, he picked the Chiefs to win last week. So, I don't think he saw this result coming, at least certainly in the fashion it did. So we'll get his perspective on that and what it means for the Eagles moving forward and the Chiefs moving forward as well. But a lot of the future, of course, will be in the hands of general manager Brett Veach. And I'm curious how people feel about him now. And this is where we're still only a couple days removed. And I wonder if it's hard for people to still step back or not and recognize that the run that they're on doesn't also happen without some of the decisions that he made, while so much is going to be focused on the obvious, which is they have not been able to develop a left tackle. So you guys can let us know on the text line basically how you view him now, because Mahomes has been to five Super Bowls while he's been the general manager. That doesn't happen by accident. But there's also the reality of they haven't developed a left tackle, and they've had five different left tackles in the Super Bowl.
I want to be critical because he's part of the problem that caused this mistake. I don't think fans are wrong for being critical. But this goes to the broader thing with the Matt Nagy stuff, too. If you're coming in here to tell me Brett Veach is a bad general manager, then you're telling me that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are so incredibly great that they can overcome all of these foolish decisions and Spags, they're just so great that they win in spite of him. And that just can't be true. That just can't be true about Brett Veach. He can't be doing such a bad job that they're winning in spite of him, because you and I both know that that's not how the general manager job works. But to pretend like that his single biggest flaw is a GM at this point is that man can't find a left tackle to save his life. That's the case. He traded for one in a first-round pick in Orlando Brown Jr., but he didn't even like that player enough that he gave up a first-round pick for to give him an extension. So, like, he liked him. It wasn't like an F-level trade. They won a Super Bowl with him.
No, that was a successful move.
But it's like, but when you look at it, it's like a B-level or C-plus trade, because you didn't even like that left tackle enough to pay him. Like, you liked him enough to let him start, but he wasn't even good enough to do it. So then you had to go to the next left tackle option, a player that you didn't like for more than a year, to go to another left tackle option, to, you know, so on and so on and so on. To the point that is, you have now gotten to five. You're good enough at GM to five Super Bowls. That's pretty good, right, to appear. But not good enough to find a single left tackle that you're willing to stick with. I will say, it's time to swing for the fences. I think that in every time when it appeared, Brett Veach had a weakness. We've complained about this when it comes to edge rusher and a corner before. Positions he was not successful at figuring out, it seemed like before. And wide receiver. Wide receiver seems like it's going quite a bit better. And Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy over the last 2 years. They eventually, when it was a corner they loved, they went up to find Trent McDuffie. I think what I found out about Brett Veach is, if he doesn't love that player, he'll move on from his previous plan, or he won't trade up for it, right? Like, he didn't trade up for corner because he didn't love anybody till McDuffie. He's got to go find the left tackle he loves and give up the world, but that's, or do what it takes to get it, because we can't keep doing this.
But you said the important part in there, and we hit on this a little bit yesterday when you said you'd be willing to trade multiple picks to go up in the draft. I said, I'm not against that, but the key part is it has to be somebody that you absolutely love, that you think is basically can't miss, like Trent McDuffie. I'm with you. And that's where we're at, though, in early February. I don't know yet. I'm sure they have plenty of evaluations already, and the combine hasn't even happened. Where is this left tackle class? And Bink will be with me either tomorrow or on Friday. He'll be filling in for us. And I know, Drew, I'm sure you guys will talk draft if we don't do it tomorrow, certainly on Friday a little bit, because he's a great guy for that. And they'll start the mock draft stuff and everything very, very soon. I only do that, though, Cody, if it's a tackle that they think is can't miss. That not just like, well, we think maybe. Like,
it's enough half measures, though, you know?
I hear you, but also like that guy has to exist that for this particular year. In general, over the last 5 years, they have not developed a left tackle. That is a fact. That is the biggest issue for his tenure currently, if you even want to say there's an issue, because I would still say he's easily the second best general manager in football, behind Howie Roseman, whether people want to say that or not. I think it's pretty obvious at this point in time. So, the tackle solution, I don't think, is there in free agency. Is there a trade that can happen with a team that's wanting to move on from their left tackle? That's tough to find, like the Orlando Brown Jr. situation. And there, that was Orlando Brown Jr. wanted to play left tackle. The Ravens already had Ronnie Stanley. Yep. So they're like, no, dude, we're not letting you play left tackle. That was how that trade also came together. So does that scenario exist anywhere else in the NFL? I don't know. But the draft stuff, yes, I would love for them to draft their left tackle of future. And if you tell me it's a can't-miss guy and they feel like you got to have him, and trading up to pick 16, let's just say, is what happens, then sure, I'm all about that. I don't know if that guy exists yet or not.
It's difficult, and I understand this notion to be like, I'm not saying it's an easy job to find a left tackle, especially when you're picking at, and we can go through every draft, the Chiefs have essentially had their selection. They've moved up or down depending on trades they've made or those things. But their actual selection, the pick that they held, was like 32. I mean, legitimately, they've been in the AFC title game.
Yeah, that's the other aspect of why it's challenging.
It's between 29 and 32 every year. So, like, I do think that we need to, like, pay attention to that as you evaluate the job. I pointed this out before. Howie Roseman, who is another, obviously, great GM in the league, has picked 9th, has picked 13th, has picked 19th. Like, his job's a little easier than it is a Brett Veach because, and look, some of that is his own doing. Some of that is he makes wise, prudent trades. When you let go of players, I would say Brett Veach did that. The time that they were able to be high enough in the draft to take a guy like Trent McDuffie is because they were willing to trade away Tyreek Hill. They've had to make those moves. And we can get in, maybe tomorrow you guys can get into some of the other guys that are willing to trade. But if you're going to tell me that Brett Veach is doing a bad job, I'm not going to listen. But if you're going to tell me like he needs to figure out left tackle, I'd be spending every waking moment, if I were Brett Veach, figuring out the guy who can block the guy for at least the next 5 years. Some length of time.
They clearly aren't stupid. They've known that's an issue for a while. And you're like, well, then how come they didn't fix it? They tried. It just didn't work.
They failed.
Last year, in their mind, they had their next left tackle. Clearly, that's not the case, but they thought they did. It's not like they've been ignored. It's not fair to say they've ignored the problem. They just have not successfully found their option long term. And I can't remember who it was nationally yesterday that went through some of the left tackles for the great quarterbacks in this league. Obviously, Mahomes is one of them. But go back to Brady. Go back and look at the quarterbacks for the left tackles for Peyton Manning. Go back and look at the left tackles for Joe Montana. You don't have to find a Hall of Famer, okay? You don't have to nobody's saying you got to go find Trent Williams, okay? That'd be nice.
You need stable left tackle who is your starter for a number of years.
You know, go back a couple years in Chiefs history. Like, Eric Fisher, not a Hall of Famer.
I'll take Eric Fisher.
You know what I mean?
I would take an Eric Fisher type right now.
Of course. That's what I'm saying. Like they don't have, they need to find a guy that can be a starter for a while. They do not have to go. Nobody's suggesting they got to go find a Hall of Fame left tackle.
So I saw the text and I said, hey, they did try to re-sign Orlando Brown Jr. He ended up taking money.
They did.
In order to go to Cincinnati. Trying doesn't count in the NFL because you and I both know one universal truth. If they wanted to have Orlando Brown on their team, they could have offered him more money and kept him here. They decided, just like Tyreek Hill, they tried to sign Tyreek Hill too, yeah. But they made their choice at a certain dollar figure, which meant you wouldn't have him under any condition. You didn't like him that much. There's a level of like you had to him assigned to a dollar amount. And if you love that player under any condition, like Chris Jones, you would have paid him any amount of money to be a member of your team. You made your choice. You've had five different left tackles and five different Super Bowls. That is, I'll just be honest, that's not a good way to go about business. That is a bad way to go about business. And I'll say, I know they tried this year, and I'm not saying they didn't.
I mean,
Kingsley Suamata.
What part's a bad way to go about business? Sorry.
To have a different left tackle in every Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were saying the way they negotiated with him. Okay.
No.
I was like, how it works.
No, I don't care about that. No, that's fine.
Okay, I'm on the same page.
To keep changing left tackles across the board. That's a tough way to go about business. You can't keep operating under this, musical chairs over at the, I don't know, third most, fourth most important position on the field. I mean, it's one of the most important spots. You can do that at corner. The Chiefs have done that at corner. You can do that at a lot of spots. You can do that at running back. Hell, I think it to a point anymore in the NFL, you can do that at wide receiver. You can't do that at left tackle. It's time to settle in. Figure out a long-term relationship, you know?
And
stop dating these guys.
This is the offseason where, once again, it's a pressing need, but is the solution out there? And that's, we're going to find out, but it may not be out there. Picking 31.
You're telling me D.J. Humphries is the starter week one next year. I'm going to lose it.
That should be plan like D, but as we talked with Nate Taylor yesterday, Nate Taylor, of course, said D.J. Humphries believes, as any player should, believes that if you give him a full offseason that he can be a starting left tackle.
He was kind of like the Eric Fisher type.
That's five to me ago. If a bunch of that doesn't work out, you know. I still think it's done and there's no going back with this. I still would love the answer on what was the whole thing 2 years ago when they traded for Juwan Taylor.
Oh, the whole left tackle thing with him?
And for like 72 hours, it was like, oh, yeah. They traded for their left tackle, the future. And then we had him on the show, too. I remember that day.
Huh? He said he played Juwan left tackle.
And then very quickly it was like, oh, no, he's the right tackle. Now, I know people have issue with how he's played right tackle. I also think he gets beat up a little bit too much, in fairness, like from fans, not like in the game.
He's one of the league average.
I think he's an average. You can say he's overpaid. Is he a disaster? No, both can be true. But that, I still wonder where that left tackle stuff came from with him.
I don't know. They abandoned it pretty quick.
Very, very early on.
Because that could have been the option before they moved their left guard to left tackle. Because it'd be like, well, then you're weakening right tackle. You're like, yeah, but you're weakening left guard at an all-pro level to do it. It's all just a mess. And then meanwhile, we got to figure out the cap stuff and whether that money's around. Travis Kelce. Obviously, on Wednesdays is when his New Heights podcast releases. It's kind of a longer cut because he gives a long explanation for it. It is hard not to hear this and think that Travis Kelce is very seriously, if not leaning towards, listen to it and then we can give our opinion on it, towards retirement. This is Travis Kelce on New Heights talking about what he'll do about retirement.
I know everybody wants to know whether or not I'm playing next year, and right now I'm just kicking everything down the road. I'm kicking every can I can down the road, and I'm not making any crazy decisions, but right now the biggest thing is just being there for my teammates and being there for my coaches, understanding, you know, that there's a lot that goes into this thing. You know, I've been fortunate over the past 5-6 years. I've played more football than anybody.
Yeah.
And it's because of the people that are in that building and the fact that we keep going to these AFC championships and these Super Bowls. And that means I'm playing an extra 3 games more than everybody else in the entire league. And that's a lot of wear and tear on your body. And it's a lot of time spent in the building, focusing on your crafts, focusing on the task at hand, every challenge that you set up for yourself. And it's that process can be grueling. It can weigh on you. It can make you better, and it can drive you crazy at the same time. And right now it's one of those things where it was kind of driving me crazy this year. And I think that it happens as you kind of tail off towards the back nine of your career, as a SVP would say, is, you know, it's as you see yourself or not feel yourself have the success that you once used to have, man, it's a tough pill to swallow. And then on top of that, to not be there in the biggest moments, knowing your team's counting on you, man. Those are all extremely hard things to, it's just a tough reality. And, yeah. You know, I think, I'm going to take some time to figure it out. And, I think I owe it to my teammates that if I do come back, that it's going to be something that, it's a wholehearted decision. I'm not half-assing it, and I'm fully here for them. And, I think I could play. It's just, whether or not I'm motivated or it's the best decision for me, as a man, as a human, as a person to take on all that responsibility.
So that was Kelce on New Heights.
A very honest,
at minimum, he is very much considering retirement, at minimum, out of that cut.
Yeah. That cut makes it sound like he's done with it. He don't want to do it anymore.
Admitting that, and he admitted that in the middle of this season, there were moments where, like,
I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. And it's not just can he put up numbers still. There's a lot more to it. Do I really want to think about how long of a season as he was breaking down the last couple of years? But you get up there into July in St. Joe and it's 100 degrees and humid and you're grinding at practice. And then, yeah, you don't really play in the preseason, but still you're practicing there. And then every single week, and this year you're playing three games in 11 days or whatever it was. And you're playing on, frankly, you're playing on holidays or day after holidays. You're playing on Christmas Day, all of it. That's, you know, something eventually you get probably sick of, tired of. Now, as he says, he's going to take some time because I think it's very easy, like 3 days after the Super Bowl, to be like, okay, yeah, you know.
That was a long-ass season, and I'm tired.
Is your answer different 3 weeks from now or 2 weeks from now?
It's like coming.
It sure sounds like a play right now. If we were to do updated odds on Travis Kelce's retirement, minus 350 or 400 that he's retiring, meaning that's the favorite.
Yeah.
The non-retired.
Heavy favorite.
That's decent. Yeah, that's a decent
that's
size,
a pretty
favorite.
Size favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be, you know, you get 2 or 3 to 1 odds that he's coming back next season now versus 2 weeks ago or 72 hours ago. You know, I think it would have been a different answer.
I'm having a hard time hearing that and not thinking I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's funny. It's not even like the beginning part where he's like, I need to think on it, or the end when he's like, if I'm there, I got to be there. I got to whole ass this thing with my teammates and I got to make sure that I'm there. It's that little bit in the middle where he admits what you said at the beginning, which is, there was a part this season when Travis Kelce was not enjoying it.
Yep.
And I get it, right? His numbers weren't backing it up. The offense was still struggling. They were just kind of stuck in no man's land. And he probably got to a point where he was going through the motions and he didn't help his team in the Super Bowl. Had he gone for 100, maybe it's different or whatever else, right? Nobody helped the team in the Super Bowl, in fairness, but like they just got their ass kicked in the Super Bowl and it's probably fresh. And that was a long ass season. But he has played, and we've done the math on this. In the run they're on, he's played an extra 1.5 seasons in the 7-8 years since they started going on these playoff runs. So, I mean, he's played a lot of additional football. He's an older player. And funny enough, I just watched an interview with Jason Kelce. Somebody was asking him, I think it was maybe like a Barstool. It was like a real short one. And he was talking about, hey, would you ever want to coach? And he's like, part of me would love it. Like, he's like, I actually kind of would love coaching the offensive line and doing those. He's like, the amount of hours it takes. And he's like, I'll be honest, it'd be a significant pay cut from podcasting. Like, he's openly admitting, like, that'd be a real pay decrease to go
$100 million Amazon
to go be an offensive line coach. Like, I think there's part of it where it is very easy for Travis to walk away, even easier than other players, man, because he can do anything else to financially support himself, to fill his time, to scratch a creative itch, whatever, right? He can do a million things. I hear that, and I hear a guy who's retiring.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think he's leaving. But
Oh, I don't know how you...
It's so immediate, I don't want to, like, be the only thing, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know how you can't hear that, and at least, like, if all you knew was that piece of audio, I don't know how you wouldn't come to the conclusion. Yeah. Does it mean 100%? No. But if all you heard was that piece of audio, you would think, oh, yeah. Because once you, like, with any... like you laid it out, Cody, like, whether we're talking about football or anything... You know, the minute if you're sick of the current job you're in this case, we're talking about a short shelf life, NFL players, he's played a long career, but typically the NFL careers, your earnings potential is very, very short window. If you're in any job and you start already talking to yourself like, I don't know if I really like this anymore, it might be time for something new. The minute your mind is already willing to say, and you're already willing to say that out loud, I think you're kind of already there. Aren't you?
And look, it could change. And I understand, like, he could get a few days away from it and then just be like, oh, man, I do kind of miss it or those things. And I'm not saying it can't, like, cycle back into your brain. But, like, if you made him, like, if he had to, right? Decisions on retirement have to come by Wednesday, February 12th. He's done. If they had to come today, I think sometimes, because I think Jason Kelce was seriously considering retiring the year before and then ended up coming back. I think sometimes you talk yourself into, you're like, no, I actually want to do it for these guys one more time. I want to be in that locker room one more time. I want to do this thing. But the Chiefs actually kind of need, like, he has to give them a decision in 30 days, really. That roster bonus is going to come due.
They can still.
And I honestly think you should give them the day by, like, 1 month from today. Free agency opens in the National Football League. I think you want to know before then because it impacts every decision. It is such a large ripple. Financial, position, draft, everything. I think he's got to know in 30 days.
It absolutely plays a huge role. I would say, though, like if he truly came to them and said, hey, I need more time, they can push back. There's a way they can negotiate and redo some wording in the contract and push things back to where they don't run into a scenario where they pay out the bonus and then he retires and they're stuck. That's not happening one way or the other. He's either going to retire before then, tell him he's coming back before then, or he'll delay the decision and they'll rework it. They would, of course, love an answer sooner. But Jason Kelce did not retire until June, I believe. Or was it?
It was, no, it was March.
June 1st cut, though. Is way,
yeah, he was
way
a June 1st cut, but he announced his retirement like March 3rd.
He did not have the roster bonus, though, in my understanding, I don't think. So that's the difference on the timeline. But they can push that back if they need to. Let me ask you this. With the cap hit, if I told you it had to be a 19 million, do you think that is best for the team that he's back?
Yes. So, I've already told you on the free agency market, and now it's a full $19 million cap hit, not an average annual per year. That's the cost. A wide receiver costs you 30% more than that.
So
while a 900-yard wide receiver costs you 30% more than that.
Maybe it's unpopular, but not a $19 million, and I don't believe he would be back on 19. That's why I'm not worried about the $19 million cap hit. He's either going to retire and you don't have any cap hit, or to me, if he comes back, they will have a additional year added, dummy year. They'll move money around and his cap hit will be reduced. He'll still get his money, but the cap hit will be reduced. I don't believe there's really a scenario where he's playing next season and the cap hit is $19 million. I believe if he comes back, they will do something with the contract and push it back a year to give them some more flexibility. Because if he comes, must be also real, if he comes back, it means he also thinks they can win a championship still. And how do you help them win a championship? You don't have a $19 million cap hit this offseason.
You don't cost that amount of money. Yeah. You take a little haircut, you put on the dummy years, you do the fake extension that we've seen in the NFL where, oh, we extend you for another year and we spread out the cap hit essentially between 2 years because we know we're going to get it. All of those things I certainly think are in play. But if you said it's no choice, Travis Kelce back, he wants back. Let's just say that. Travis Kelce wants back, and it's just going to be at $19 million. I'd pay it. But that was the conversation I told you yesterday where plenty of teams have let players of his caliber go even at the end of their career because of a difference of money.
Yeah, but he's not playing anywhere else. You would agree with that.
No, I don't think so.
He's either back or he's retiring.
I think he'd take the discount too. Agreed.
All right, up next, let's talk with Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider. He was at the Super Bowl. He's a Philly guy. We'll ask him about retirement a little bit too with Travis Kelce, plus what the Eagles were able to do and what this means for their future as well. Next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops, but not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward. Giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start. Because where you start matters.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
KYW News Radio and Deborah Heart and Lung Center team up to discuss arrhythmia, diagnosis, treatment, and management. Here's Rasa Kay.
If your doctor tells you your physical has turned up an arrhythmia, a rhythm disorder in your heart, that might cause it to skip a beat right then and there. But cardiac electrophysiologist Dr. Rafael Corbizero explains the biggest concern is, like a realtor says, location, location, location.
And arrhythmias are geographically specific. So it depends on where we are in the heart. In a normal heart, in a young, otherwise healthy patient, there are abnormal arrhythmias that can occur, most common of which is called supraventricular tachycardia. These are abnormal circuits based on the electrical anatomy. They are not life-threatening. They can be life-annoying, and they usually occur in the top or middle part of the heart.
Learn more at DeboraHealthReport.com.
New Jersey's only heart, lung, and vascular specialty hospital, Deborah Heart and Lung Center. When it's your heart, demand Deborah.
It's on Cody Ingold.
Second 11 Chiefs at their own 43, trailing 24-0, just underway third quarter. Super Bowl 59. Hollywood Brown, tip-tap motion, goes back to the right. Mahomes again in trouble, and again he's sacked. This time back at the 37-yard line, Josh Sweat. And when the Chiefs are pocket passing, they are getting overmatched.
The story of the game on Sunday, no doubt about that. And to talk more about the game itself and looking ahead to the future a little bit, our Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker joins us, of course, the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, daily NFL podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. He was also in New Orleans, both for Media Row, but I know you went back on Sunday, too. You told us you were taking the family as well. So I'll say it. It hurts. It hurts here, but congratulations to you. You got to have that moment with your family and everything.
Yeah, thank you so much. That was really cool. I call over 30 games a year, so I pretty much never get to just kind of be a dad and a fan and take my family to a game. And I think I told you guys, but late the week after the championship games, my daughter, who turned 13 Sunday, said, "Daddy, can you please take me to the Super Bowl for my birthday?" And so I thought, okay. So we went and certainly was not expecting that at all, but was really, really happy because it made the birthday all the more special that the Eagles won. Would have been not nearly as cool of a trip if it had gone the other way. And I was as stunned as anyone. You know, everybody in Philadelphia, where I do a lot of media and do a lot of work for the Eagles, has been reminding me that I predicted the Chiefs would win. I love all these people mocking me because I picked the Chiefs to win. Like, the Chiefs were favored in the game. I want to see all these geniuses that made hundreds of thousands of dollars betting the Eagles' money line.
Right,
okay?
Right.
Okay, like, it was that obvious that the Eagles are going to... I didn't see one person say 34-0 or 40-6 or whatever. Not a single person saw that coming. I don't care what anybody says.
What do you think? So we always looked at it. I was trying to decide between, like, was it just one of those performances where it unraveled and everything got the better of you? Or were the Chiefs doing an incredible job at disguising a massive weakness for an entire NFL season? Like, we know they went through four left tackles and that their offensive line had their struggles and that the Phillies' defensive line was good. But either it was an all-time performance by their defensive line, or Kansas City just did one of the greatest magic tricks for 18-plus games, disguising what was a much bigger weakness than even we realized.
It's a great question, and I would say the answer is a little bit of both. Because ironically, I actually thought that the Eagles' D-line 2 years ago was better.
Same.
And if you remember 2 years ago, you know, that's when they had knocked out two Niners quarterbacks out of the game, and Christian McCaffrey was, you know, playing quarterback for a play. I mean, it was an absolute disaster. But they had guys that year. I mean, Brandon Graham, they set the NFL record, I think, for sacks that year, which is why, by the way, it was so stunning when in that Super Bowl 2 years ago, they had zero sacks.
Right.
And obviously, some people think the footing played a part in it, whatever. The point is, I think both years were probably closer to the middle, and that what we saw in these two Super Bowls was the extremes. In other words, I don't really think that the Chiefs' offensive line was good enough where they should have been able to shut out the Eagles' D-line 2 years ago. But I also don't think it was so pronounced that, you know, it's halftime or early third quarter, and I look up in the next-gen stats, the Eagles have 5 sacks, 11 quarterback pressures with 0 blitzes. I mean, that's the part that was stunning. I do think that Chiefs O-line 2 years ago was better, because they still had Orlando Brown and they had Tooney at guards. They were just so good on the interior. Whereas this year, I think they probably had 3 guys that if you could really tee off on them, that they probably were going to struggle at times in one-on-one pass pro. And that was the right tackle, the left guard, and the left tackle. And I thought Andy Reid made a major mistake not running it more, mm-hmm. or really at all in the first half, because the Eagles, they played so many 2 deep safety looks. You know, he really put the offensive line in a spot where they were just kind of catching, and, you know, the Eagles could just tee off on them. And then Mahomes was never comfortable. The Eagles have some very good, you know, coverage players, coverage defenders. And then he would hold it because they would take away the underneath stuff. And then by the time he held it, they just were coming at you in waves. The other thing, like, the weird thing about the game to me is it looked like the Eagles looked like they had just been off for a month. And they were, like, flying around, jumping out of their shoes. And look at the Chiefs are playing on a short week. Like, I don't know how else to describe it, but it just – that was what I was sensing with, like, the energy. Maybe the crowd had something to do with it. I don't know, but right from the start, it was like, wow. I mean, you could just feel it.
I just wonder, like, sometimes, and I know that it takes so long to show up sometimes, Ross. It's like, there's a reason they played an extra season and a half over 6 seasons. Like, you start getting kicked in the teeth, and you're like, okay, I'm out. Like, you know? Like, at some point, 3-peats are nearly impossible in the Super Bowl era for a reason, and it's because most of these teams eventually run out of gas in the regular season. But this is the whole argument. Like, I understand, like, the people be like, well, never going to mention Brady ever again. I think we got to wait till the end of their careers probably to do it. But I refuse, Ross, and I don't know how the people felt about this as a player. I refuse to let the national narrative be that it is somehow worse to get your ass kicked in the Super Bowl than lose a close game in the wild card. No, it's better to have gotten to the Super Bowl. You accomplished more in a season than teams who lost earlier in the years in those other dynasties.
You are 1,000% correct, okay? I will never buy that story. It's like when the people would say, well, Joe Montana never lost in the Super Bowl. Well, yeah, he only got to 4. You know what I mean? Like, that you are always better racking up conference championship game appearances, racking up, you know, getting to Super Bowls. And by the way, you have a 0% chance to win the Super Bowl if you don't get there. He's now 3-2 in Super Bowls, which, by the way, isn't that what Brady was?
Yep.
Did Brady win his first 3 and then lose the next 2?
Yep.
So who cares? So they're both 3-2 in Super Bowls. Now, in terms of, like, the GOAT stuff and all of that, I think until Mahomes wins 5, which is 2 more, I think people should probably, you know, tap the brakes on that.
Agreed.
A little bit, right? Like, he's going to have to win 5 and get within legit striking distance. And it is fair. I don't ever remember Brady playing that poorly in a Super Bowl. And Mahomes has kind of done it twice now. I don't even remember Brady really playing that poorly in AFC Championship games. But he had a game I remember against the Jets where he really looked bad in the playoffs, like a divisional round game, Sanchez Jet.
There was a Jake Plummer game he got rocked.
Yeah, wild card game against the Ravens, he didn't play well. So Brady's had bad games in the playoffs. You know, it's just interesting. The further you get in the playoffs, we remember those games a lot more. So, like, when you lose in the wild card round, the divisional round, because there's so many other games and because it's not the game that necessarily everybody's locked in on, like, the whole game, we don't remember that as much as the conference championship games and the Super Bowls, where I don't recall Brady looking kind of like, you know, like Mahomes looked in that game. I mean, that was, I don't know, you guys got to tell me, that was by far the worst I can ever remember Patrick looking.
Yes.
Just in terms of the interceptions were both really bad. You know, even DeAndre Hopkins is wide open, and maybe he should have caught it or whatever, but that was like, wow, this is just not his day. He was holding on to the ball. Obviously, you could tell he was confused. I think it's the worst game I've seen him play. You guys would have to remind me of how bad the one was against the Bucks, or even
this
the
was worse.
Game against the Bengals.
Yeah, this was worse, because I would argue in the Bucks game, if you look at and even go back and watch that, Mahomes was trying to pull off, like, you know, Herculean plays and things like that.
He looked okay in that game. His team let him down more than the other way around.
Whereas this one, he made plenty of mistakes, and this is far more on him, in addition, of course, to the offensive line than the Bucks one, in my opinion.
That's the thing, I think, and I had Greg Cosell, who does an excellent job, you know, on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast this morning, breaking it down. But what is so telling is the Eagles not blitzing once and having two deep safeties the vast majority of the plays. They basically said, number one, we don't think you're going to run it. And number two, even if you do run it, we're not really worried about it. We can solve it. And they also stayed in nickel the whole game with Cooper DeJean. So even if you do run it, we think we can stop it with our front six. And then we don't have to ever bring a blitz to get pressure. We're going to get pressure with our front four. That's a problem. And, you know, to Cody's point, like, that's something that obviously the Chiefs are going to have to once again reinvest in the offensive line. Because they had a couple guys at positions that are, you know, not up to par for where they need to be to play better in a game like that. Especially if Andy's going to come out and just have them kind of throw the ball every play. I really thought that was a mistake.
100% with you. We're talking to our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Bigger picture from your perspective, when you look at both the Chiefs and the Eagles, and, you know, there's already, you know, the national shows talking about, can the Eagles become the next dynasty here in Kansas City? We don't think this thing is suddenly just over for Kansas City either, although they've got questions to answer. How do you view the Chiefs moving forward? And it is a big offseason, but I think it'd be foolish with Mahomes and Andy Reid still around to think that they're just falling off a cliff or anything.
Right. So, again, anybody saying anything negative about the Chiefs or Mahomes or Andy Reid, like, you're kidding yourselves. They've been to five of the last six Super Bowls. They've won three of them. That is incredible. I could actually make the argument that watching what happened Sunday almost makes me appreciate everything else they've accomplished even more. You know, like, the amount of games they've won and playoff games, and think about how many times they've beaten the Bills and the Ravens. It makes it even more impressive on some level, because you realize sometimes you have a game where, like, the other team, I mean, let's play this game for a second. I'm going to pull this up, okay, right now. How many guys, let's just say offensively, how many guys on the Chiefs offense at their position would start for the Eagles, okay? Neither guy would start. Xavier Worthy was a good draft pick. And by the way, I think it's very telling that Xavier Worthy became their go-to skill guy, but he's not starting over Devontae Smith or A.J. Brown.
Right.
Okay. On the O-line, Creed Humphrey and Trey would both start over their counterparts at center and right guard, but the Eagles are significantly better at the other three spots because Tooney's bumped out to left tackle. Dallas Goedert is a better player right now, I would say, than Travis is. That one's probably close. You know, Saquon Barkley, forget it, compared to the Chiefs running back.
You wouldn't take Kareem Hunt over Saquon?
Yeah, yeah.
The easiest decision on the field.
And then Mahomes, right? So basically what we're saying is what is that, three guys?
Yeah.
Mahomes, the center and the right guard.
Tight end, if you're, you know, you're probably in Kansas City, but if you're in Philly, you're probably saying Goddard.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, then, yeah, Goddard or Kelce, right. So let's say 3.5 guys on offense for the Chiefs would start for the Eagles. And then defensively, Chris Jones would start. I think Bolton would start next to Zach Bond, the first team All-Pro linebacker, but not over him. Karlaftis is close, I would say, with Sweat and Nolan Smith. On the back end, I think McDuffie starts, but I don't know. I mean, the point is you know, that the Eagles have a really, really good team, and it makes what they've done very impressive. The Chiefs have a very good GM, and they're aggressive with Veach. I give Veach a ton of credit. I mean, he basically did everything he could. You know what I mean? Like, you know, bringing in Hollywood Brown, bringing in Juju, DeAndre Hopkins, you know, trying with DJ Humphries, you know, on defense, trading for Uche. I mean, he really tried to do every little thing he could do to get those guys to be able to do it again. I fully suspect they'll be in the mix with the Ravens, with the Bills, maybe with the Bengals. Although the Bills, I mean, the Bengals, three of their, like, best four players are free, or, you know, need new contracts. You know what I mean? So, like, the Bengals have their own issues. But, yes, the Eagles are – I can't say the Eagles are going to be a dynasty because they don't have an MVP. Like, their quarterback did not play an MVP caliber level this year. He played his two best games the last two games. They're going to have a new coordinator. The Eagles will be in the mix, but part of that, quite frankly, is because the NFC is not as good as the AFC. You know, like,
sure.
The NFC, the Lions, they lose both their coordinators. The Vikings have a quarterback issue. I think the Packers, maybe. You know, do you think the Niners are coming back or not? I just think the Eagles are probably the clear favorite in the NFC, but not necessarily. I don't know that they're good enough at head coach and quarterback, like proven enough to say, okay, here comes a dynasty. What I do feel comfortable with saying is here comes a team that's sure as heck going to be in the mix for at least the next three. I mean, every guy on offense is under contract next year except for Becton, but they have a guy to replace him. And their six best players on offense are all under contract for at least the next 2 years. I mean, they're set up to be very good through 2026 at a minimum.
Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, thanks again for coming on throughout the season, man. Enjoy the offseason. I know you've been busy all fall, so maybe you'll get a take a deep breath here for a little bit.
It is absolutely my pleasure. Great to talk with you guys. Yes, ski season starts tomorrow. I'll be flying out west to ski. It's the only thing I can do post-football. So if you're in Montana and you see a 260-pound blur coming down in an orange jacket, that's me.
All right, you got it. We'll keep an eye out if we make the trek. All right, there you go. That's Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. He is the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, daily NFL podcast. Check it out on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. I agree with him on the NFC AFC point. We've made that heading in. Like, the Eagles, to their credit, they have they're a very good team, clearly, but they've taken advantage of an NFC that right now doesn't have the dominant team. Heck, I guess they're the dominant team. They've been in the Super Bowl twice in 3 years, but there hasn't been. Everybody thought it was the Lions. They got too banged up, as the season went on. And all the questions, we're going to all find out. Can the Lions still be the same team without their coordinators, as he said? And then there's just so many question marks. Jane Daniels is the guy everybody's talking about. Can he have a sophomore season?
But he gets to keep his guys.
He does.
You know, because Cliff didn't leave.
Yeah, so like, can he continue to build off of his sophomore season? Unlike C.J. Stroud wasn't able to do that, even though Jane Daniels was more impressive than Stroud in his rookie year. So the NFC, like, the Eagles will have a great chance to get back. They really will.
Meanwhile, on the others, since it is Pitchers and Catchers Day, we can sneak out.
I saw photos from Surprise Arizona from media members that are out there. It looks very nice.
Looks lovely. One of these days, this show should get out to Arizona. I've spent probably my fair share of time at spring training over the years, but happy to get out there one more time as a show, since you've never been to spring training.
That's the one thing I've been spoiled to go to a lot of cool things.
Man, three Super Bowls and
not
spring
training. Yeah,
you got to go down there just for personal reasons. Like, even if you're not even doing the media end. I was a little surprised yesterday when I saw the announcement from the Royals announcing that Ned Yost has returned to the Royals organization in an advisory role. Quote, "My deep love for the Royals, for Kansas City, and the people there never left. So I just wanted to help because I know I can help, and I know what it takes to build a world championship club, and I think we're close. I think we're getting really close." So Ned was sitting on the farm, canning peaches or whatever, you know, surviving bee attacks or whatever.
Hanging out the deer stand.
Hanging out in the deer stand. And he thought, this team's so close to a championship, I just want to be in the aura of it. I mean, this is a no-lose deal.
Yeah.
He's advising J.J. Piccolo, presumably on stuff that'll be like, how did you handle developing a World Series caliber culture inside of your clubhouse at that time? They pay you six figures?
Yeah, not
you
a bad
kick
gig.
A few ideas around? I don't hate this at all. Obviously, Ned and I have a back-and-forth relationship probably over the years, but I'm glad to see Ned back with the organization. I don't know who wouldn't want this.
Right. Yeah, this is an obvious win, if you will, for both parties involved. I would still love to know if we got a true answer, like, who approached who.
I think maybe we have JJ on next week and ask him.
Was that something the Royals approached Ned and said, we really love your input back? Did Ned eventually just get bored? I don't know, right? But, of course, it's a great asset. It's a great asset to have back around the ball club. And also, it's kind of, you know, it's interesting, too. This year, they will be celebrating throughout the season the 2015 World Champions. They will have the 10-year reunion of that during this season. So, so he's back. He's back in that anyway. So that's kind of unique. I'll be curious how long, you know, is he on to this role, too? You know, is this a two-year thing? Is this something where we're still talking about him being part of this 5 years from now? I don't know, right? So there's some other questions, but it never hurts to have somebody that was part of your most or second most successful season ever in franchise history that started when this team, much like what we've seen recently, right, when you start to see them slowly progress and become competitive like they were last year and get back in the postseason, then they took the next jump and went to World Series. So it definitely doesn't hurt anything at all.
I just see it as kind of like a no lose thing. I wonder if this is
advisor and consultant. By the way, I still think anything in life is an incredible gig.
If someone's looking for a radio consultant,
great gig.
I'm your guy.
Show up once, you know, show up a couple times a year.
$20,000. I tell you how you do things wrong,
and then you get a leaf, and there's no, you know, there's no repercussion.
Chop on
or anything.
A Zoom call
it's great.
Every now and then you listen to a few things.
Yeah. Oh, being a consultant and advisor is like a dream gig. Dream gig.
Oh, it's pretty cush. I just. Like, I view this as J.J. Piccolo looks at this team and he looks at the talent on this team and they're like, this team is good enough to just go on a run. We've got a superstar player, one of the better rotations in the American League on paper. It got us to the divisional round last year. How do we take momentum from a previous playoff year and make sure that it sticks? Make sure that, like, what was the preparation like? What were the attitudes like? How did you manage, like, one side of the clubhouse versus the other versus losing streaks? Because Ned's biggest strength probably in the entire time he managed was that when it got bleak, and it got bleak for Ned, as in, like, people were ready to fire his ass.
Yeah, all-star break.
All-star break. Done. The year, you know, like, they were ready in 14 to come after him. How did you keep it from unraveling when it felt like it was getting ready to unravel? How did you keep him from unraveling? Like, you know, like, how do you take advantage of Correa missing a grant? Whatever, right? But how did you keep it from unraveling, and how did you keep the team together? How did you let the leader speak? Whatever, right? Yeah, pay him. Pay him to figure it out. What's the harm? Him kicking around spring training. George Brett's always there. And I saw the, I assume you saw the interview Gordon did on Hosmer's podcast, in which he said when he went to go sign his contract, he said he walks into the room and it's just a room and it's the contract. And it was just George Brett. He said, you need to sign this. He's like, yes, sir, Mr. Brett.
That's great.
You got it.
I do know that,
like,
they have,
having great players who had success around your organization is a good thing.
The last couple of years, too. Last year, they had James Shields was back at spring training. I know Matt Quatrero was on with Vern. What was that? Two Saturdays ago now, I guess, at this point. Or was that last Saturday? I don't know. Maybe it was last Saturday. The day it was this past Saturday. Yeah, the day before the Super Bowl, I think. Or something. I don't know. But anyway, he was on with Vern at Royals Rally, whatever that Saturday was. And Q mentioned how they plan on bringing back more guys for spring training this go around than even last year. And so, you know, they've had, I think, he said Joaquin Soria is expected to be there this year at spring training as well. They'll have them on different times, right? They're not going to be there the entire, one guy will be there for a couple days. Somebody else will be there for a couple days. But yeah, none of that hurts when you got still a pretty young team.
Yeah. I mean, it's a team, like, all the guys are on rookie deals except for Bobby Witt Jr., who's making a ton of cash, and Salvador Perez, who's been around this organization for a million years.
All right, up next, we'll get back to the Chiefs with Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor here on 96.5 The Fan. We'll ask him about some of the offseason moves that may or may not happen, and did he hear the Travis Kelce retirement audio, the question about retirement, the same way we did? That's coming up here on Cody and Gold.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.